So today we're going to talk about agape love. We're going to examine agape love by looking at Peter's growth in agape love over time, by looking at the accounts the Bible talks about that demonstrates where people display agape love on, and we're going to learn how to identify true agape love as we're doing this. It's my hope that we will all leave this sermon being able to identify true agape love a little bit easier, so that we can readily utilize God's godly agape love in our lives and realize, is what I'm doing, is that agape love? Or is what my brother doing, is that agape love? So the title of my sermon today, almost said sermonette and got you guys off early. Nope, we're staying here for a while. The title of my sermon today is Identifying True Agape Love. Identifying True Agape Love. Let's go to a passage that demonstrates that Peter may not have understood agape love correctly at the beginning of his calling. Will everyone turn to John 21 and verse 15 with me? We'll read John 21. And we'll read verses 15 through 17. As we read verses 15 through 17, I'm going to call out the Greek word for love that is being used in this passage. I've got that written here in my notes. Before I do that, I want to apologize to Andy and Randy, who know Greek, and I will be butchering it, just so you know. But don't judge me too hardly. We will read, Peter's understanding of loving Jesus was different from what Jesus' desire was for Peter to understand at the time. And as we read this, know that the Greek word for brotherly love is phileo. And know that the Greek word to describe godly love is agape. So let's start in John 21, verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love, or agapeo, the verb tense of it, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love phileo you. So God asks, do you love me in a godly manner? And Peter says, yes, I love you like a brother. He said to Jesus, Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. Verse 16. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love, or agapeo, me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you, phileo you. I love you like a brother, he said to him. So Jesus said, tend my sheep. Verse 17. Jesus said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Do you love me like a brother? Phileo me. Jesus met Peter where he was here. Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? Because he said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you like a brother, phileo. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. So what we see here is that Jesus wanted Peter to confess a godly agape love to him. However, Peter had a hard time with that here in John. Peter, all he could profess for to Jesus was a brotherly love here. And Jesus mercifully met Peter where he was at the end of this passage and asked Peter, that, do you love me like a brother? To which Peter could honestly respond in the affirmative. When we understand the Greek passage of this text, we see that Peter had a problem confessing godly agape love to Christ. See, Peter didn't quite appear to understand agape love here yet. And that's kind of the point of John 21 in the original text. We'll turn to a passage later that proves Peter gets this lesson on agape love over time. because he teaches it to other people, and we'll read some of those teachings later on in the sermon. But Peter doesn't appear to understand or correctly use and identify true agape love here in John. Some of you may question if the love that you are exhibiting is truly agape, godly love, or is it brotherly love, or is it something else altogether? So we're going to discuss a couple of tools that we can use to identify whether the love that we are exhibiting or the love we are witnessing is truly godly agape love. See, being able to identify this is critically important to our calling when we remember that God is love, and all who observe us are supposed to be able to identify that we're Christians by the use of our agape love, and that our works account to nothing in God's eyes if we don't use them through the framework of agape love. Brethren, it might come as a shock to you to hear this, but we're about to turn to some passages where we see that the Pharisees had agape love. Evil people can have an agape love. You see, just like Jesus Christ came and magnified the law and told us how to keep the spirit of the law, we need to be sure that we understand how to keep the magnified, godly spirit of agape love. There is a wrong way to do agape love, and that may have been part of Peter's confusion here. Just my speculation. But before we review the bad way that the Pharisees did agape love, let's talk about the fact that the godly agape love can be in God's people that he's working with before baptism. Agape godly love can be in God's people before baptism. Let's turn to a passage that shows us a Roman centurion that appeared to be someone God was working with in some manner, and he exhibited godly love, but he most likely was not baptized. This is the account of the Roman centurion that asked for God's healing for one of his slaves. Let's look at that over in Luke 7. We'll read Luke 7, verses 1 through 10. Luke 7, starting in verse 1. Now, when he concluded all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum, that is Jesus Christ. And a certain centurion servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. No, sorry, that wasn't Jesus Christ. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving. So the people are trying to talk Jesus into doing what the centurion needs here. And they say, "For he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue." Then Jesus went with them. And when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, "I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." And those who were sent, returning to the house, found the servant well who had been sick. So we see the centurion's servant came to Jesus, and they said that the centurion believed that if Jesus would just say that he was healed, he would be healed. That's how much faith the centurion had. Notice verse 5 of this chapter. We see that the centurion actually loved or agaped the nation of Judah. This agape apparently stirred the centurion to build a synagogue for the people of Judah. This man's agape love is also told in an account related to this agape love is also related to his faith. which are both characteristics of the fruits of God. But this centurion was most likely not a converted member of the church, since the invitation to the call to the Gentiles hadn't happened by this point after Peter's vision. So this centurion was probably not a baptized member of God's church, but God was probably working with him, and he exhibited a type of agape love, which we will see throughout this message, is consistent with godly agape love, and it's associated with faith and good works. But how about people that aren't called at all? Surely they don't do agape love, do they? We wouldn't think the Pharisees do agape love. Well, they do. It's not godly agape love, but the Pharisees are recorded in the Bible having agape. In fact, even people that are doing evil can be shown to have a type of ungodly agape. Every person is capable of producing an agape love. So this is why it's critical that we must learn how to identify godly, magnified agape love of the God family. People can produce this type of agape love when they're being evil. Let's look at that over in Luke 11, and we'll go to a few passages that demonstrate this. Anybody can have a worldly type of agape love. Luke 11. And we'll read Luke 11, verse 37 through 44. And if you've got headings in your Bible, like I do, this says, "Woe to the Pharisees and lawyers." Luke 11, starting in verse 37. "And as he spoke, a certain Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So he went in and sat down to eat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner." That was their custom at the time. "Then the Lord said to him, Now you Pharisee, make the outside, now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. Foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But rather give alms of such things as you have, then indeed all things are clean to you. But woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe in mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass by justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." So God's saying, Jesus Christ is saying here that they need to do the weightier, what we call the weightier matters of the law and not just customs. Verse 43, "Woe to you Pharisees, for you love the best seats in the synagogue and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like graves which are not seen, and like the men who walk over them are not aware of them." What we see here in verse 43, describing a Pharisaical type of love. The Pharisees agapeo the best seats in the synagogue. They agapeo the greetings in the marketplace. The Pharisees have agape love for the best seats and for the greetings in the marketplace. So they might be who owns the Ticketmasters and StubHub that's driving up the prices of all these good seats everywhere. Just kidding. Brethren, we see a concept that the Pharisees agape here. They are capable of agape. They just agape praise and looking good in the best seats in their fancy places. And this begins to cue us in on how we can identify true godly agape love. You can identify true godly agape magnified love based on the object that the love is being demonstrated towards. You can identify true agape magnified love based on the object the love is being demonstrated towards. If you're loving the best seats and the best greetings for yourself, you can know that that's not God's agape love. That's the Pharisees' agape love. Let's look at this concept some more over in John 3:16. One of the most famous passages in the Bible. John a passage that reminds many of us of football, as it's displayed at football games, of which the Dallas Cowboys got to play on Thursday night, and I did not love that game. They lost. John 3:16, and we'll read through verse 19. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he does not believe in the name of God, the only begotten Son of God. Verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and the men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Evil men, agape darkness. That's what we see here in verse 19. Evil men, agape darkness. So they do not agape Jesus Christ in the light. So let's discuss this ungodly, worldly, pharisaical agape further in John 12. Turn over to John 12, verse 42 with me. And we'll read John 12, verses 42 and 43. John 12, verse 42. And if you've got headings again in your Bible, the heading in my Bible on this passage is Walk in the Light. Verse 42. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. That is, they did not confess Jesus Christ because of the Pharisees, lest they should be put out of the synagogues, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. So these rulers here in verse 42, we see that they agapeoed the praise of the Pharisees more than the praise of God. So that's another thing that worldly agape brings, is it seeks for praise of the Pharisees. So process what we just read here in these two verses. Many spiritual rulers of Christ's day believed in him, but because of the pressure of the Pharisees, they didn't confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Because these rulers loved, or agaped, the praise of men more than they loved or agaped the praise of God. There's a couple of more honorable mentions in this category of men who have agaped love in a worldly way, contrary to God's way. We won't turn there, but in 2 Timothy 4, verse 10, Paul tells us of a man named Demas. And Demas forsook Paul. And Demas forsook Paul because he agaped the present world. So Demas loved the present world. In 2 Peter 2, verse 15, we see that false prophets and teachers have gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved or agaped the wages of unrighteousness. That's in 2 Peter 2:15. False prophets agaped the wages of unrighteousness. So we can clearly see that there is a worldly, unmagnified agape that is a part of the unrighteous also. All humanity has the capacity to express agape love. Even evil prophets and evil teachers can express agape love. So what's the difference? What's the distinction between God's agape love and evil prophets' agape love mentioned in 2 Peter 2:15? Well, as I mentioned earlier, those differences are identified by the distinctions of the object of the love and the manner in which the love is given. Let's examine the difference further by reviewing the magnified, godly agape love over in 1 John 4. Will everyone turn to 1 John 4 and we'll read verse 7. Andy, I think I was going to tell you I was going to 1 John 3, but this is where I was talking about. 1 John 4, verse 7. And we'll read verses 7 through 11. And the heading added in my Bible here is Knowing God Through Love. Knowing God Through Love. 1 John 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And this is the love of God was in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And in this passage, the only love it's talking about is various agape love. So all these loves here are agape love, but it is a godly type of agape love, a godly agape love. So we see here in 1 John 4, verse 8, that he who does not have this godly agape love does not know God, for God is love. Verse 9 here tells us that the love of God was manifested, and the godly God was manifested. So this godly God, we see, this godly love was manifested here, we see, by God the Father actively giving us his Son, Jesus Christ, as a sacrifice for our sins so that we could have eternal life. Brethren, this is godly agape love. This is the total difference of Pharisaical love. The godly agape love actively gives to one of God's children or potential children. The godly agape love participates in another's life. The godly agape love self-sacrifices to do so to the point of death. The godly agape love gives before it ever receives. The godly agape love connects with their brother while they still are adversarial to their brother. The godly agape love brings eternal life. This is the kind of agape that we are challenged to bring to each other. This is what it's talking about here. This godly agape love, this magnified love, is delivered to people in a self-sacrificing manner. It's not delivered for the self, for the best seats in the house. It's not delivered for one's own praise. It's not delivered for worldly trappings and evil. Think of the difference of God's godly agape love in contrast to the Pharisaical evil agape that we reviewed. The worldly agape is self-seeking. The worldly agape encourages lying doctrines and prophecies to deceive. The worldly agape loves the praise of men. The worldly agape loves darkness more than light. The worldly agape is the worldly agape loves the world's way more than it loves God's way. The worldly agape is self-seeking, and it seeks the ways of the world. However, the godly agape seeks God. It seeks God's beloved, and it seeks the life and betterment of others. It does this through self-sacrifice, giving, in a non-arrogant, non-showy manner. So I think it's important that we realize that there is a worldly agape out there. And the people that God is not calling at this time have a capacity to express this worldly agape. Perhaps that's why Peter had a hard time learning the lesson initially over in John 21. Maybe he didn't understand the difference between the godly agape and the worldly agape. That's just my own speculation. It is equally as important to realize that we can identify God's godly agape love in the manner in which it's delivered and who it's delivered to. We can identify God's godly agape love in the manner in which it's delivered and who it's delivered to. We know that God's agape love shouldn't be delivered for the best seats. We know that it shouldn't be delivered for the most pompous greetings in the darkness of the world. So what should God's godly agape love be delivered to, and what should it be delivered for? We will spend the remainder of this message reviewing who and what we should express magnified godly agape love on, and the way we should express this love. Because it's in these attributes that we can identify whether ourselves or our brothers or sisters in Christ are exhibiting this magnified godly agape love or not. So we will make the distinction between the world's agape love and God's godly agape love through the remainder of this message by exploring godly agape love. So we're going to discuss 10 things that should express godly agape love on. And thankfully we didn't have a sermonette, so you guys don't have to be freaked out that I've got 10 things here. So let's discuss 10 things that we should express godly agape love on. The first one that we should express godly agape love on is on God the Father. We should express godly agape love on God the Father. Let's read that together over in Romans 8, verse 28 together. This happens to be my favorite scripture in the Bible, and we'll read through verse 30, Romans 8, 28. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified. But did you catch in here that in verse 28 we have this godly agape love identifier here? We know all things work together for good to those who love God. To those who love God. So this is our commission to love God. And we know that it's referring to God the Father here, because in verse 29 it says, who he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. So this is referring to God having his Son. So we know that it's talking about the Father here. So point number one is we are to express our godly agape love on God the Father. Point number two, the godly express agape love on Jesus Christ. The godly express agape love on Jesus Christ. Let's read that over in John 14 and verse 15. John 14 in verse 15. And we'll just read 15 through 21 here. John 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that it may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees it nor knows it. But you know it, for it dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Verse 19. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So this is a passage we commonly read around the Passover. And we see in verse 15, if you agapeo me, if you agapeo Jesus Christ, keep my commandments. So that is a note for us here that we are to love Jesus Christ. And to demonstrate that, we will be keeping his commandments. In verse 21 here, we see that if you love Jesus Christ, you will be loved by the Father and Jesus Christ in return. And all those points to love are God's godly agape love. So point two is the godly express agape love on Jesus Christ. Point number three, the godly express agape love on righteousness. The godly express agape love on righteousness. Hebrews 1 verse 9 speaks of this. And well, let's just go ahead and turn there since we didn't have a sermonette. Hebrews 1 verses 8 through 9. I'll still get us all out of here in plenty of time for that potluck. Hebrews 1, starting in verse 8. So, this is a passage where Jesus Christ is exalted above the angels, God the Father to the Son. And this is actually a quote from Psalms. But we'll read starting in verse 8 and verse 9. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness, more than your companions. So we see here a description of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ loved, or agapeo love, he loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. And therefore, God the Father anointed him with the oil of gladness more than his companions. Christ and us Christians following him agapeo righteousness. We agapeo righteousness, as we see here in Hebrews 1. Point number four. The godly express agape love towards Christ's return. The godly express agape love towards Christ's return. And we won't turn there because there's only one scripture I'm going to refer to, but this is in 2 Timothy 4:8. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to those who have loved his appearing. So we see that those who have loved or agapeoed Jesus Christ's appearing have a crown of righteousness laid up for us. So, the godly express agape love towards Jesus Christ's return. And that was from 2 Timothy 4:8, quoting from Paul. Number five, The godly express agape love towards their brethren. The godly express agape love towards their brethren, their brothers and sisters in Christ. And this is where we see that Peter gets it. We're going to read from Peter's writings here. And we see such a maturity from John 21 to 1 Peter 1, verse 22. So let's go ahead and turn there to 1 Peter 1 and verse 22. First Peter 1, verse 22. So we see here, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, so we see that love of the brethren here, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Turn over to 1 Peter 2, verse 17, just a page away. We see this again. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So we see here in 1 Peter 2, 8, agapeo, the brotherhood. Peter teaches us here in 1 Peter that we are to agape our brothers and sisters in Christ, which is just what Christ asked him to do earlier in John 21. So what he couldn't commit to in John 21, he is teaching us to do right here in 1 Peter 2. We see the maturity of Peter spiritually here. Some honorable mentions on loving your brethren is John 13, verse 34. John 13, 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. 1 John 2:10. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. That's 1 John 2:10. 1 John 3:11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. 1 John 3:11. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. That was 1 John 3:14. So, point number 5, the godly express agape love towards their brethren, their brothers and sisters in Christ. Point number 6, the godly express agape love towards their neighbor. The godly express agape love towards their neighbor. Jesus Christ states this over in Matthew 22, verse 37. Let's go ahead and turn there. Matthew 22, verse 37. And we'll read verses 37 through 39. Matthew 22, 37. So this is asked, which is the first commandment of them all? And Jesus answers, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And so that was the first and second points that we discussed here. Love God the Father and love Jesus Christ. This is the first and greatest commandment, verse 39. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So we see here that we are supposed to love, agape love, our neighbors. And as we learn through the parable of the Good Samaritan, our neighbor is really anybody who's in need. It is, we don't have an out here with somebody not on our lot line. We are called to love anybody who's in need, and that's the definition of a Christian neighbor. Additional honorable mentions in this category are Galatians 5, verse 14, if you're taking notes. Galatians 5, 14. For the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. In James 2, 8. James 2, 8. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. So that was point number six. The godly express agape love towards their neighbor. Point number seven. The godly express agape love towards their enemies. The godly express agape love towards their enemies. And let's turn over to Matthew 5 and verse 43 to look at that. So as we're beginning to fill this list of 10 up, we really see we don't have any outs here. There's no exclusions. Matthew 5 and verse 43. And the heading in my Bible says, love your enemies. We'll read verses, we'll just read 43 through 48 and capture the whole concept. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And think about that there, where we talked about the love, the Pharisaical love of the Pharisees. It was easy for them to love whoever gave them the best seats in the synagogue. That's an easy ask. But loving your neighbors, that's a hard godly ask. Verse 47. If you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. So we see here in verse 44 that we are to agapeo our enemies. We are to love our enemies. That's point number seven. Point number eight, the godly husband expresses agape love towards his wife. The godly husband expresses agape love towards his wife. And I'm going to go ahead and turn to Ephesians 5 and verse 25 for this one. Let's go to Ephesians 5, 25. And we'll read through verse 33. So Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Verse 28, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Verse 33. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, so let his wife see that she respect her husband. So we see in this passage in verse 25 that husbands are to agapeo their wives, just as Christ agapeos the church. In verse 28, we see that husbands ought to agapeo their own wives as they do their own bodies. In verse 33, we are told, let each one of you in particular so agapeo his own wife, and let his wife see that she respect the husband. So we see here in the Bible that the wife is representative of the church of God in what we just read. So ladies, you don't get out of this either. We all, men, women, need to challenge ourselves to love God's church, because that is the spiritual principle of this same concept. And men, just because there's a spiritual component here, it doesn't mean the primary point of the message doesn't in effect also. We do need to agapeo our wives. So point number 8 is the godly husband expresses agape love towards his wife. Point number 9 is from the same passage. The godly Christian expresses agape love towards themselves. The godly Christian expresses agape love towards themselves. This comes from verse 28 here. So the husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Men, we have to know how to agape our own selves, or else we're not going to know how we can agape our wives. And the same with ladies. Ladies, you have to know how to agape yourself, or else you're not going to know how to agape the church. So we have to have a godly love that we express towards our own selves. God did not call us to a calling of self-loathing and self-hatred. This is not a part of godly agape love. Godly agape love knows how to have a godly agape love for the self. Remember 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19. We won't turn there, but 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19 states that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, whom you have from God. So we have to have a godly agape love towards ourself for that temple. Point number 10. The godly expresses agape love towards life. The godly expresses agape love towards life. Let's read that over in 1 Peter 3, verse 10. 1 Peter 3, verse 10. And we'll read 10 through 12. 1 Peter 3, verse 10. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against all those who do evil. We see here at the start at verse 10 that he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. That love there is agape love. So we see here a concept that we are supposed to love the lives that God has given us. The English Standard Bible puts 1 Peter 3:10 this way. Whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. The Christian Standard Bible puts it this way on 1 Peter 3:10. For the one who wants to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. So we have to have a desire to love our lives, and we're learning here that we can do that by keeping our tongues in check. Brethren, similar to the concept of loving ourselves in an agape manner, God wants his people to have a godly agape love for the life that he has given them. We need to express godly agape love on the lives that God has given us. That is point number 10. These 10 biblical objects of God's godly agape love teach us more and more about the distinction of God's agape compared to the agape of the Pharisees and the world. And you realize this list includes everybody. We are called to learn how to love everybody when we realize that loving our neighbor involves loving everyone who God places in our life that's in need. We are to agape God the Father and Christ as well. God's agape, godly love is manifested towards everyone. So what we manifest our godly agape love on helps us identify the godly love from the ungodly agape that is talked about the Pharisees having. 1 John 3, verse 10 states, "In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother." So 1 John 3:10 tells us that if you don't love your brother in a godly manner, agape manner, you're not of God. God's agape love is given in a manner that's not self-seeking also. It's given in a manner that is distinguished from the way the Pharisees give their love. And these distinctions are called out in the love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13. So let's review the manner in which God's agape love is delivered over in 1 Corinthians 13 as we begin to wind down this message. 1 Corinthians 13. And we'll read 1 Corinthians 13, just 1 through 8. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 1. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Although I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away." So we see here, notice that this agape love is a self-sacrificing, not a self-seeking love. It suffers long. It's not rude. It rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. And it hopes all things. This is a large difference from the agape of the Pharisees, which is self-seeking, and it's not a godly agape love. See, brethren, this is the love that we're supposed to emulate. This is the godly agape love. And we can know it when we see it based on the manner of selflessness it's delivered, like we see here in 1 Corinthians 13. And we can also know it when we see what it's delivered on, like the 10 objects that we discovered that God's love is delivered toward. We can use the manner in which the love was delivered and what the love was delivered on to identify true godly agape love that's in our lives coming from ourselves, and it's in those around us. God's godly agape love is by definition determined based on what it is projected towards and in the manner in which it is given. Every human, good and evil, has the capacity to agape something. The Pharisees and false prophets have the ability to agape the best seats and evil and darkness. And that's what they choose to agape. Is this the agape love that you are witnessing from yourself and those around you? Self-seeking, service of self? If so, that's not God's magnified, godly agape love. Or is the agape love that you're seeing from yourself and your brethren, is that projected on your neighbor, your brother, your enemy, in a patient, selfless manner, according to the principles of 1 Corinthians 13? Then that is God's godly agape love being demonstrated. In summary, God's magnified agape love is a selfless agape love, and it's directed towards God the Father, Jesus Christ, Christ's return, godly righteousness, your neighbor, your brethren, your enemy, yourself, your wife, and your life. This is a far different agape than the agape of the Pharisees that loved their own accolades, loved the best seats, and loved the darkness of this world. See, truly, godly, magnified agape love is defined by the object of the love and the manner in which it's displayed. And we can identify godly, magnified agape love when we see it based on these attributes. These attributes can be used as a check on the love that we witness in our lives to identify whether us and our brethren around us are exhibiting true, godly agape love. So we must, by definition, use God's godly agape love as we have seen it here. Any other agape love falls short. We strive for the godly, magnified agape love or nothing else. Brethren, may we all have a full, godly agape love like God expects us to have. Let's shine that godly agape love on each other and those God has placed to us in our lives. Let's do this in the selfless manner that he has told us to do so over in 1 Corinthians 13 and elsewhere in the Bible.